This past Friday was a well-known anniversary. Did you observe it? Do you know what it was? This last Friday was the 491th anniversary of Martin Luther's nailing his famous 95 Theses to the Castle Church door in Wittenberg in Germany. And that was the spark that ignited the great explosion of the Protestant Reformation. And one of the great doctrines of that Reformation is our subject tonight. Justification by faith was one of the foundation doctrines of the Reformation, and it is one of the foundation doctrines of our faith. It was one of the three solas of Lutheranism, lampooned by the Catholics as solism. Sola gratia, by grace alone, apart from merit. Scriptura sola, with the scriptures alone, apart from tradition. And by faith alone, apart from works of any kind. This was the doctrine that shook the foundations of Europe. It is the doctrine that is the basis of our faith. In fact, the first five chapters of the book of Romans are dedicated to the exposition of justification by faith alone. And there are two key, we won't cover five chapters tonight, so don't get settled too easily. But there are two verses in those chapters that I'd like especially to call your attention to. Romans chapter 4 and verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And chapter 5, verses 16 through 18. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one unto condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more shall they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the gift of righteousness of one shall the free gift come upon, so by the righteousness of one shall the free gift come upon all men unto justification of life. On these Sunday evenings, we've been considering the doctrines of the atonement of Christ, and in its many aspects. The atonement, as we observed, was simply the way God reconciled mankind to himself. God reconciled the world unto himself in Jesus Christ. And we considered the doctrine of propitiation, the way in which he reconciled the world. He, the aggrieved, provided a sacrifice that satisfied all of the righteousness of God, whereby he could be just and justify the ungodly. And we study the doctrine of redemption, whereby we who were the slaves of sin were purchased by his blood, and now we are his slaves. Where we were the prisoners of sin, and he freed us. Where we were the captives of sin, and he ransomed us by the price of his blood. And another aspect of that doctrine of the atonement of Christ, which is the sum total of all of the work that he accomplished on the cross, is this doctrine of justification by faith. But as Paul showed us in Romans here, before you can get it to the doctrine of justification, you have to establish the fact that mankind needs justification, that mankind needs some way provided for him to come unto God, because man is estranged from God. One psychologist wrote that there is a perverse twist to human nature that always tends to evil. But he did not call that perverse twist sin. Have you observed that nobody sins today? We make poor choices. And of course, there are immediate consequences of those poor choices, but that's the end of it. Mankind has to be convinced first that he needs redemption. I remember many years ago when my wife was talking to her Jewish friend Celia Rosen, that she said, "Celia, you need to be saved." She says, "Why? Am I in some sort of danger?" All of the Christian gospel runs absolutely contrary to American civil religion. As I said, nobody sins today. They just make poor choices. And everybody goes to heaven unless they're heinous creatures like Hitler or somebody of that nature. I remember the revulsion I felt when I heard at the broadcast memorial service for George Burns. This fellow said, "And now he's up there making God laugh with his humor." That's blasphemy. But that is the level of the understanding of God by the world today. It is a part of the civil religion of America. So Paul very deftly established that this peculiar perverse twist in human nature is because of what man is. He is a sinner by nature and by deed. He lists a whole litany of scriptures from the Old Testament in chapter 3. "There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." And that last statement is demonstrable. There is no fear of God before their eyes. For he is just an all-powerful sugar daddy. And this is the civil religion that we face as believers. And we are bigoted. We are narrow-minded. We are without any consideration of the feelings of others. And we're in good company. That's the way the Apostle Paul was held in his day, too. But he established what we read in the 23rd verse of this third chapter of Romans. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And what he shows here is mankind stands before the bar of God's justice guilty. It has been observed by many that these first early chapters of Romans is the drama of a courtroom, of a Roman courtroom. For all of the terms that he uses are terms not of Moses' law, but of Roman law and justice. And first, let's turn back to that first verse, chapter 4, verse 25. Who was delivered for our offenses? Now this, he refers back to the Jewish scriptures and the Jewish understanding. For he was delivered for our offenses and was raised for our justification. The apostle is quoting the Septuagint version here of a verse in the 53rd chapter of Isaiah. In the last verse of that 53rd chapter, therefore, says God, I will divide him, his servant Messiah, a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. This word, poured out, in Hebrew, means exactly that. And it was a technical term for the priest who would pour out a drink offering over the sacrifice, creating a sort of flambeau in offering the offering on the altar of God. He poured out his soul. He drained his life by his blood. He was our sacrifice in God's sight. But in Romans here, quoting from the Septuagint, which was translated by the Jews about 200 years before Jesus was born, they translated not the exact word of Isaiah, but what they felt was its meaning, which it must have been, because the Holy Spirit gave his approval by the Apostle Paul's using it. He was delivered for our offenses. But this comes from another Hebrew word, and it in the Hebrew context, it means he was handed over to. And it is the word that was used of the priest when he handed over the offering upon the altar, or when the offerer brought the offering and handed it over to the priest for sacrifice. He was delivered. He was handed over for our offenses. You notice he didn't say poor choices. Sin here is called offenses. Sin is an offense against the righteousness and justice of God. And he was delivered for sacrifice to death on the cross for our offenses. And that is the one side of the coin of redemption. The flip side of the coin of redemption is the other, rest of the verse. And was raised again for our justification. We were redeemed. We were saved by his death. That was the propitiating sacrifice that bridged the gap between God and man and satisfied the justice of God. But our justification was by his resurrection, Without the resurrection of Christ, there is no acceptance of the offering on our behalf. The resurrection of Christ was the validation that the sacrifice had been accepted. Without the resurrection, as the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians, if there Christ be not risen from the dead, then our preaching is in vain, and you are yet in your sins, because it was by the resurrection that we were justified. And liberal Christianity, which claims to be mainstream Christianity, and sneers at evangelicals as being narrow-minded, denies the physical resurrection of Christ, and they give all sorts of mystical ideas of what the resurrection was. There is no salvation in such preaching, because there is no redemption in such faith. For we were justified by his resurrection. So mankind stands guilty before the bar of God's justice. But God himself provided the propitiating sacrifice. You remember we discussed that. And it was accepted by God. It satisfied all the demands of his justice, so that he could be just and the justifier of the ungodly. He rose for our justification. Truly, Christ arose. Like one of the early Christian greetings, Christ is risen. And the response was, he is risen indeed. And this results in our justification. And as the doctrine is, we are justified apart from works. The whole of the letter to the Galatians was to that point. Justified without any consideration of works on our part. And we read in Romans 5:17, a part of this discourse of Paul on justification, for if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, the first lesson of the gospel, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men to justification, to life. And it is, this gift is freely given. And in verse 16, it is called the free gift. And this word, free, in the Greek, is a beautiful word. And it means for no reason. He gave us this gift for no reason. Many years ago, the company that I was working for and the manufacturers whose products they distributed used to run promotions to increase their sales, and they would offer the merchants, if you will buy a dozen of product instead of a half a dozen, we'll give you one free. And we would bill that on the invoice as 11 and one free. But the government, yes, the government that always has to meddle in business, and nothing is ever right until they adjust it, determined you can't do that. It isn't legal to do that, because it isn't free. it is contingent upon the purchase of 11. So it is a quantity discount. You can't say it's free. Well, technically they were right, but what in the world was the problem in business? So we would bill it 11 and 1 bonus. And that euphemism got by the rule of an ever watchful, protective, benevolent government. Well, that is exactly what this Greek word means, for no reason, for no consideration in return. The free gift. He freely gave his life. We were freely given the gift of justification. That word justification, too, is a legal word in Roman jurisprudence. It didn't mean that the person was justified in what he did. It was the equivalent to our verdict, not guilty. For indeed, the word justify and just in Greek basically means straight. So if a person is just, he's a straight shooter. It means upright. And it carries the thought of made straight. That which before was not straight was made straight, was made upright. That's what the verdict, justified, meant. It meant that though we did it, and it was wrong, we were built guilty and condemned, yet the penalty was paid by our sacrifice, and thereby, by that atonement, by that reconciliation, we, crooked ones, with a perverse twist of personality, were made straight. We were made upright. Now, that didn't necessarily have to do with our behavior at the time or our character at the time. It had to do with the judgment of the court of heaven. And it had to do with the righteousness which he bestowed upon us. The righteousness of God by faith, Paul said, wrote in Galatians. Not the righteousness of God's character, but the righteousness which God bestowed upon us. And so the analogy is, if you receive a traffic ticket, as this fellow did the other night that hit our brother and sister here, you receive a ticket, you are under the condemnation of the law. Let's say the ticket is for $100. And he goes and pays the ticket. That doesn't mean he didn't do it. That doesn't mean there are consequences. That doesn't mean there are people who are injured. But he has satisfied the law in that respect. And therefore, in Roman jurisprudence and in the scriptural meaning, he's not guilty. That is, he's no longer guilty. But the atonement carries the thought that we are changed. We have been made righteous by the gift of righteousness disposed upon us freely, with no consideration involved whatsoever. It was freely given, and it is freely received by faith. This brings us to that beautiful conclusion in the 8th chapter of Romans. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. We are just sanctified. We are justified, as Paul wrote to the Corinthians. And the decision of the court of heaven has been rendered. And as a result, turning to the first verse of the fifth chapter of Romans, we have a legal standing before the court which formerly condemned us to death. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, not obtained by merit, freely given, wherein we stand. We have a standing in grace in the sight of God. And this is the end purpose for the propitiation offered. It is the result of redemption. It is that we are now justified. The past is gone. The future is before us. We now can live this justified life. And the rest of our life is bringing us, in fact, in line with what God has said we are. Justified freely by His grace. Totally apart from any works. There's another doctrine or two of this atonement that we will get into, but just remember all that the atonement of Christ means. Our reconciliation with God. Our redemption by Jesus' blood. Our propitiation, Christ's sacrifice for us. He was both our priest and our offering. He gave Himself over to death for us. And our justification. And we will conclude in another couple of Sunday nights on the other two doctrines. So just think. Think just what Christ did when He justified you.